We'd like to welcome you all to our sacrament meeting today. I'm Brother Holland. President John Anderson will be presiding today. We're grateful for all those that are visiting today. We hope that you have an enjoyable experience, and we're very excited to hear from Jacob later on. We shall begin by singing hymn number 259, Hope of Israel, after which we have asked Brother Eric Thomas to give the opening prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to gather here as a ward family and sacrament meeting. We're grateful for the opportunity to renew our covenants with thee. We're thankful for the favorable circumstances in which we have to meet. Please watch over this ward and bless it and bless the members of our ward with the things they stand in need of. Watch over our missionaries serving, that they will be protected. We're grateful for the many blessings we receive at thy hand, and we say these things in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
By way of ward business, we have released Brother Gary Dayton as priest quorum advisor. We propose that he be given a vote of thanks for his service. All those who wish to express their appreciation may do so by the uplifted hand. Thank you. I just want to take a moment to personally thank especially the newest deacons. You're doing a great job. We're proud of you. We know it's hard work, and we're grateful that you're stepping up to it, but you literally can realize that you're doing something that no one else in this congregation has ever done. You're passing at the age of 11. And so thank you for taking on that challenge, and you're doing very well. We'll continue to support you. We have a great program planned today. We'll first hear from Brother Dan Broadbent, after which there will be a special musical number by Charlotte and Holly. And then we will hear from Brother Jacob Broadbent. We will proceed to that part of the program.
Well, good afternoon. I'm happy to speak today during this sacrament meeting where Jacob's being welcomed home from his mission. I will keep my comments brief so he has enough time that we'd all like to hear from him, and also the musical number that Dave mentioned there from Holly and Charlotte. Brother Crabb asked Jacob and me to base our talks on President Nelson's conference talk, Becoming Exemplary Latter-day Saints. It was given just last conference, October 2018. It was the final conference talk given at the end of the Saturday afternoon session. It was a very brief talk, only 8 minutes. And you may remember that some of those 8 minutes were taken up by the audiences or the congregation's reactions to the different temples that were being announced. It's almost becoming a conference sporting type event where people cheer, you know, oh, that temple area. So amidst those 8 minutes were spread the temple announcements and the congregation's reactions to them. He began his talk by assuring us that what had been spoken in conference was, quote, the mind and will of the Lord for his people today. So I thought that was worth reviewing with us, that we have the Lord's stamp of approval from his prophet. As we go back and read those conference proceedings, we can be comfortable that the Lord wants us to apply them. Another point in his talk, he encouraged us to apply the new home-centered church-approved or church-supported curriculum. And here's a quote that I thought was worth reading from President Nelson. I promise that as you diligently work to remodel your home, kind of a fun analogy, remodel your home into a center of gospel learning, over time your Sabbath days will truly be a delight. Your children will be excited to learn and to live the Savior's teachings, and the influence of the adversary in your life will in your home will decrease. Changes in your family will be dramatic and sustaining. So a pretty strong promise from President Nelson. So now that we've had a few weeks to implement that, I wanted to pause and just let us reflect on this new program that President Nelson was giving these important promises on. How's it going? You want to think a little bit of how it's going in your home. In our home, we haven't done it as thoroughly as we'd like, but when we have done it, Connie and I have felt a good spirit in our home, and we felt that it was a very helpful thing to do. So far, so good with us, with the limited approach we have taken. So we're going to keep at it. Another thing President Nelson said was about temple service and other factors in life. Let me read this quote. He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, the assaults of the adversary are increasing exponentially in intensity and in variety. Our need to be in the temple on a regular basis has never been greater. I plead with you to take a prayerful look at how you spend your time. Invest your time in your future and in that of your family. So every day, what do we spend our time on? We got to do them with things that will contribute to our future as individuals and the benefit of our loved ones and our families. If you have reasonable access to a temple, I urge you to find a way to make an appointment regularly with the Lord to be in his holy house. Then keep that appointment with exactness and joy. I promise you that the Lord will bring the miracles. He knows you need as you make sacrifices to serve and worship in his temples. So a theme that helped me with this talk was that becoming an exemplary Latter-day Saint is a choice. He gave these different examples of choices of using our time more effectively, going to the temple, doing the church-supported curriculum. Those are choices. And as we make those choices, we can progress in becoming exemplary Latter-day Saints. To further the point of the power of choice, I wanted to give just a little side example and then wrap it up. So recently I read the book and saw the movie The Life of Pi. Maybe some of you have seen that or read that. It's a fantasy story about a boy that survives a ship sinking in the Pacific. It begins with a promise in the story that, quote, it will make you believe in God. His survival, this boy named Pi, is described with him on a lifeboat with a tiger, a zebra, and a hyena. After he washes up on the shore of Mexico 227 days later, he is interviewed to try to understand what happened. And the interviewers will not believe the story that involved the animals and keep pressing him for another version of his story. So eventually this boy Pi tells them another story that is horrific in the cruelty and the brutality that occurred. When he is done with a second version of the story, the interviewers are shocked. And then when Pi asks them which story they preferred, they answered, well, the one with the animals. And then Pi's conclusion was, and so it goes with God. So the promise was that it would make us believe in God. Well, belief isn't a knowledge, belief is a choice. Sometimes it's only a meager desire to believe, but it still counts. And the alternative to desiring to believe in God is pretty bleak in many situations. So my conclusion is, that life can seem unbearably cruel and bleak at times, but we have a choice. We can decide to live in a way that is exemplary or not. And it is my firm belief that as we choose to become exemplary Latter-day Saints, we'll be glad we did, and we'll help others and ourselves. I say that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
So the Lord's work is not just to solve problems, it is to build people. So as you walk with him in priesthood or church service, you may find that sometimes what seems like the most efficient solution is not the Lord's preferred solution because it does not allow people to grow. If you listen, he'll teach you his ways. Remember that God's work and glory is not simply to run an effective organization, it is to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. This is, after all, why he gives his priesthood authority and church callings to flawed mortals like you and me, and invites us to participate in his work. Our progress is his work. Hi, my name is Jacob Broadbent. This quote is from a talk called Walk With Me by President Eyring that's from the April 2017 conference. It was one that really shaped the course of my mission. And I thought it worked really well in the context of becoming exemplary Latter-day Saints, because that's what it's all about. It's about becoming, it's about progressing and growing. I feel like it's not very fair that I have to follow that beautiful musical number with talking, so I'll thank my siblings for that. That was amazing. So I prepared a lot of notes for this talk, and as I was sitting there, I had the thought to just leave them, and so I'm excited to hear what I'm going to say as well, because I'm not sure exactly the direction this will go. So towards the end of the mission, when I had about 2.5 months left out there, there's a large change which I was thrilled out of my mind about, not really, is that instead of comfortably sitting in members' homes eating dinner between about 5 or 6, instead we had the opportunity to be out in the cold and dark and the rain from 5 to 7 every day, knocking on people's doors and interacting with them. As strange as it may seem, that's not something I did for fun before serving a mission, and so it's something that was not in my comfort zone out on the mission. But what was cool is it gave a lot of opportunities to talk about what President Nelson had clarified about the name of the church. We knock on people's doors, hey, do you know who we are, kind of thing. Like, yeah, you're the Mormons, right? And then what I loved saying is that, yeah, that's a nickname. I'm like, wait, what do you mean nickname? Like, yeah, the real name of the church is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Sometimes I admit it was a little bit spiteful that I'd say that, because when they'd slam the door, they'd probably feel worse than, oh, it's the dumb Mormon cult, but it's like, oh, it's the Church of Jesus Christ, and then they'd slam it. But part of it led to some cool teaching opportunities where sometimes they weren't interested in the message, but they did have a greater understanding that what we share with people isn't just another church. It is that this is the Church of Jesus Christ, and that he's at the head of it, that this is his restored church, and then of Latter-day Saints. So saints caught my attention at one point, and the Bible dictionary definition of it is this. The word saint is a translation of a Greek word also rendered holy, the fundamental idea being that of consecration or separation for a sacred purpose. So we're Latter-day Saints, we're holy people, we're set apart. But since what was set apart for God must be without blemish, the word came to me free from blemish, whether physical or moral. And this is the part I thought was super cool, because we would share with people that this was the restored Church of Jesus Christ. But it's like, but then why saints? That seems a little bit odd. But in this, in the New Testament, the saints are all those who by baptism have entered into the Christian covenant. So if you go to Acts 9:13, it talks about it came to pass as Peter passed through all the quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwell at Lydda. And then when he had called the saints and widows and so on. So they're called saints in the ancient times, and now we're called saints again today. And it was cool when we were able to explain that to people and explain that that this is the Church of Jesus Christ, it's back. And what was powerful is to see people who understood how cool it was. There's a family at the time wearing, it's one of my favorite ties. It came from the Monroys, their family out in Astoria, that I was blessed to be able to work with and teach. The missionaries before I got there were legendary and incredible, worked super hard, and basically prepared this family. And so, being my companion there, we're the ones who were there when they were baptized, but we just kind of rode the wave of the missionaries who were there before us. And so this family, what was cool is that they're from Mexico, and they had been to a lot of different churches. They'd been searching for the truth, and nothing seemed to stick. And then it was their grandpa, Gil, who first accepted it when the elders before I got there knocked on his door. He had had some dreams, and the thing about Hispanics, I was called Spanish-speaking, the thing about Hispanics is they're In the Book of Mormon, we see Lehi has a lot of dreams and visions. They're very similar. They're dreamers. And so he had a dream about, forgetting all the exact details, but that young men would knock on his door. His family members would pass on and said, you need to listen to these young men. And so they knocked on his door. He let him right in. They started teaching him a few weeks later. He was baptized. He was baptized the week after I got out to Astoria. And so from there, his daughter and two of his grandkids came to the baptism, Minerva, John, Samantha. And then we met them there, and we started teaching them. A few months later, they were baptized as well. And from them, there have been several other people out there who have accepted the gospel. And the point of this is that they recognized that this is the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And it was powerful to see that and see their enthusiasm and how excited they were to share it. Minerva, super awesome lady. She called the elders after I had left and said, elders, do you have anything going on today at 5? Why? Well, because I have a friend coming over and I want you to help me teach her. Sure. So canceled their plans. They were over there, and then Minerva invited her friend to be baptized. And just like, I don't know. That's the thing, is that like, it's so easy to fall into a routine, to be like, it's so hard to say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's so hard to do all the different things that we're asked to do. But that recognition of what we really have, it was cool to see that in people who were seeing it for the first time, since it's easy to fall into a routine on it. And so, going back to his talk, some ways we can become exemplary Latter-day Saints. What was interesting is that the doors we knocked on, that if they were willing to talk to us, then usually they would tell us about a friend of theirs or a family member who was a Latter-day Saint, who is a member of the church. And it was cool to see the power that our influence and our example has for people. That as we live what we believe, a phrase that a lot of the leaders there use is living without gospel camouflage. That just living it and talking about it very matter-of-factly. So, what would you do last weekend? Oh, I went to church. Really, what church? And here it may be a little different that most people are familiar with the church, but just being open about it and just having a normal part of life. Seeing that I saw that those who were willing to talk to us on the doorstep and other places were those who had experience with others, who had friends and family who were exemplary Latter-day Saints. And so, let's see. Some of the things I love in this talk are when it talks about remodeling your home into a center of gospel learning. There's a state conference right towards the end of the mission where they talked about how remodeling is not a comfortable thing to do. There's a lot of changes in the last 2 years in the church, as many of you may have noticed. And so it was fun to try and change all that terminology and how we talk about it. And it was uncomfortable at times. I was blessed with a really fun district leader who they changed Preach My Gospel to say investigators to people we're teaching, which took a while to get used to, but that's cool. So when you bring someone to church, when people walk up, oh, is this your investigator? Then your friend at church is like, who's being investigated? What happened? And so just like terminology changes like that. I had a district leader who every time we actually say investigator, he's like, wait, why are the police involved? I was like slightly obnoxious about it, but to help us change and remodel how we worked as missionaries to conform with what the direction we're receiving. That, again, it gets back to the fact that President Nelson is a prophet of God, that he speaks on the Lord's behalf, that we don't have to wonder what's true. We can trust that we can go to him as the source, and that we can trust that President Nelson, that he talks to God. That, for example, the state conference towards the end of the mission again after some more of the changes, and Elder Cook was there of the Quorum of the Twelve. He's saying that usually when the brethren receive direction, it's through the Holy Ghost. But then he said, but then at times, pause, more, how do you put it? God makes it a little more clear. And the way he phrased it, the spirit that was there basically said that there are times where God does talk directly to them in a very personal way. He said about changes in the temple. He said that I want you to know, all I'll say about it, is that came directly from the Lord to his prophet. And they left it at that. And it was interesting because I talked to one of the bishopric members about that afterwards, and he said, what stood out to you there? And for me and my companion, what stood out was that how he said that at times the Lord is more specific basically saying that they do talk to God. And the bishopric member, Brother Turner was his name, he's like, yeah, that stood out to me too. And he said, but there are other members of the ward I talked to who missed that, who didn't hear it. And it was interesting to see that as we're ready to listen, as we're eager to apply it, then we will get the answers we need at the times that we need them. So I think that one of the biggest things I learned was the importance of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that becoming exemplary Latter-day Saints, becoming a saint is becoming a covenant person with God and striving to keep those. That Elder Cook, he's in, I think, the 70 now, he came to the mission and he taught us about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how it's connected, how we first have faith in Jesus Christ and then we want to make changes to grow closer to him. After we make those changes, then we repent and then we want to make covenants with him. We want to make promises with him. And as we do that, we have the Holy Ghost. More than the Holy Ghost refines us. It purifies us. It helps us to become happier. So one other story, a lady named Karen, who me and my companion also worked with a different area, she also was baptized while I was in the area. And it was cool seeing when we first met her, she was really quiet, didn't really make eye contact a whole lot, just really kind of a reserved lady. And then as we connected with her through serving her, then it was cool to see her start to open up to us. And then as we shared the gospel with her, to see her come to trust us, and then after that, see her come to trust the Savior as we were doing our best to be exemplary Latter-day Saints, that she saw that. She had good experience with other members. Members of the ward came and fellowshipped her, friendshipped her, and helped her feel welcome. They're exemplary Latter-day Saints. And it was cool to see where she started, and then 6 months later, when she was baptized, just the light that was in her eyes, the confidence she had when she would talk, there's just this joy about her. And that seeing how the gospel does bless us, sometimes not in the specific ways we think, but that, and even sometimes not in ways we recognize personally, that with her, I don't know if she saw the change from where she was at the beginning to where she was by the time I was transferred out, but I could see it. I could see there's a light in her eyes, more confidence in her. She was taking better care of herself and just happier, but since it was gradual for her, she may have missed it, but I do know that this gospel does change lives, that it is gradual. That's why President Nelson says becoming. That it's not a one-and-done thing. And so, the last that I have is this quote here. It's an invitation and a promise that President Nelson says, I plead with you to take a powerful look at how you spend your time. Invest time and your future in that of your family. If you have reasonable access to a temple, I urge you to find a way to make an appointment regularly with the Lord to be in his house and keep the appointments with exactness and joy. I promise you that the Lord will bring the miracles he knows you need as you make sacrifices to serve and worship in his temples. What's cool about that is that sparked in the mission that we changed our preparation day from Monday to Tuesday so we could attend the temple. And it was cool, the spirit that came into the mission then, that just seeing that the missionaries felt closer to God, and because of that, as we did go out, as we talked to people, we could help them feel that. We could have that light in us to then go share with others. And so one other quote on temples is, building and maintaining temples, this is from President Nelson, may not change your life, but spending your time in the temple surely will. To those who have long been absent from the temple, I encourage you to prepare and return as soon as possible. Then I invite you to worship in the temple and pray to feel deeply the Savior's infinite love for you, that each of you may gain your own testimony that he directs this sacred and ageless work. That was my favorite thing as a missionary to tell people, is that I'm not here to convince you of anything. I'm not smart enough to convince you. I'm not well-read enough to convince you or to prove anything. My only goal as a missionary is to invite people to try it out and then to help them to do so. That if they're interested, just show them how to do it and then support them in doing so. I love that that's how God works. He invites us and he helps us. And then as we're ready and we take those steps, he'll support us. And so just last thought I had was something that my trainer taught me that stuck with me, is that it's super incredible that we all get to be disciples of the being who created this world, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He created this world and we are his disciples. When we're baptized, we take upon ourselves the name of Jesus Christ, saying we will be like him. We'll do our best to be like him. We're following his example. We're striving to become like him. We're coming and following him. as best we can, and that is why we're here, is to become that. And so to close, I want to share my testimony. I served half of my mission in English and half in Spanish, so I'm going to share half my testimony in English and half in Spanish. And so, yo sé que este evangelio es el evangelio de Jesucristo, que por medio de este evangelio podamos cambiar y regresar a vivir con Dios y también con nuestras familias para siempre. Yo sé que el Libro de Mormón es verdadero, que es la palabra de Dios, y que por medio del Libro de Mormón yo sé que Jesucristo es mi Salvador, es el Salvador del mundo, que la Iglesia de Jesucristo ha sido restaurada de nuevo en este tiempo, y que José Smith fue un profeta de Dios quien restauró el Evangelio de Jesucristo, y que Presidente Nelson es el profeta en la actualidad. I know that this gospel changes lives. I've seen that in my own life. I've seen that in the lives of my friends and family, as well as my friends out on the mission. And just want to share that testimony with all of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We'd like to just take a moment and present Jacob his missionary plaque. You want to just read your scripture that you put on there?
So, therefore I, the Lord, have suffered you to come into this place, for thus is expedient in me for the salvation of souls. Therefore, verily I say unto you, lift up your voices unto this people, speak the thoughts that shall be put into your hearts, and you shall not be confounded before men.
Congratulations.
Welcome home, and we'd like to thank you for your talk today. We will now close by singing hymn number 3. Now let us rejoice, after which Sister Donna Johnson will give the benediction.
Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this Sabbath day to come here to learn of thee and to partake of the sacrament, to remember thy Son and for all that he has done for us. We are so grateful for our Savior and for his mission on earth. We're grateful for our prophet that is here to guide us and for modern day revelations that come to him. We're grateful for the gospel in our lives. We're grateful for the many blessings that thou givest to us. We pray that thou wilt bless those in our ward that are in need of thy help, that we might be good ministers for them. We pray that thou wilt be with us as we go to our other meeting this day, that thy spirit might continue to be with us. We're grateful for the missionary program, and we pray that thou wilt continue to be with the missionaries, especially those in our ward, that they might be watched over, that they might find those searching for thee. We love thee, and we are so grateful for all that thou dost for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.